Critical Analysis of Bidah by Sheikh Abu Adnan, CD 1.
الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers in Islam, inshallah we start this series about critical study on innovation bid'ah. Inshallah we series of more than one lesson where we study the issue of innovation thoroughly and we clarify the issue of bid'ah hasana and bid'ah sayyi'ah, good bid'ah and evil bid'ah. Before we start, we really need to understand or talk about the importance of holding on to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We start with the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does, we should do. And whatever he says, don't do, do not do. And that testifies to that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah, his practice is what we should hold on to. And what constitutes sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Anything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which is he ordered or recommended, and he told you to abstain from or stay away from, all this would be considered as following his footstep. Or whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed on, which is he saw some of the companions do, and he never ordered them or told them to stop doing it, he agreed on it, then this is considered a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything he practiced, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also be considered a sunnah from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also warned us that if you go against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go against the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a calamity and a problem, hardship would face you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلْيَحْذِرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And that those who oppose the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command, if they go against his sunnah, a fitna, trial, afflictions, and so on will befall them, or a painful torment be inflicted on them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these two verses and many verses, he ordered us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's footsteps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you love Allah, follow the footstep of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you claim, you say, I love Allah, then you need to follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّوا اللَّهِ. Say, if you claim, you say, you truly do love Allah, then فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. So the best way is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the hadith when the three different people came to Medina and they asked the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them, as if they said, okay, this is the Messenger of Allah, and all what he does of worship, Allah has forgiven his sins, so we have to do more. They used their rational deduction to say, okay, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is how much he worships, so how about we do more because we in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that led them to say, one of them said, I will never marry women because women will stop me from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to look after them. Yes, as all the married brothers, they come to the masjid. And after that, you don't see them anymore after they get married. All the brothers were single, mashallah, the lessons. And after they get married, they all disappear. The second one said, I will not sleep at night. I'll spend all my time praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night time. All my night will be for Allah's sake, where I would pray all night. And the third one, he said, I would fast every day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of this. And he came out and told the people, Wallahi, amma wallahi, inni la akhshakum lillah. Indeed, by Allah, I am the most fearful of Allah and the most conscious of Him. Wa atqaakum lahu. And the most conscious of Him. Walakinni asumu wa aftir. I do fast and unfast. Usalli wa arqud. I pray and I sleep. Wa atazawwaju nisa. And I get married to women. Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whomever turns away from my sunnah, he is not from me. To the meaning that is not one of my followers. To turn away and not to practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to invent new ways, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not from amongst my followers. And this is a great hadith to show the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another great hadith, the hadith of Al-Arbad bin Sariyah, collected by Tirmidhi, he said, Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-subha dhata yawm. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in the salat of subh one day. Thumma aqbala alayna. Then he came to us. Fawa'adhana maw'idhatan baligha dharafat minha al-uyun wa wajilat minha al-qulub. He said that he gave us a speech, a talk, a heart softener, that our eyes become teary and our hearts became humble and fearful. فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ. One of them said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّ هَذِهِ مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعٍ. As if this, the speech, the talk that you gave us, you are bidding us farewell. You are saying goodbye. You are leaving us. فَمَاذَا تَعْهَدُ إِلَيْنَا. What is your legacy to us? What would you advise us? What is your will? What would you leave us behind? What is your advice to us before you leave us? The Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. My advice to you, that you fear Allah, and you have taqwa, and you become and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you hear and obey. وَإِنْ حَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا مُجَدَّعًا. And even if your leader was a black Abyssinian slave, some of his limb cut off. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ. And whomever lives from amongst you after me for long life, فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. يعني the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already said you would see a lot of difference. اختلاف, you would see a lot of differences. You would see a lot of people go different ways. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ. Follow my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. And the sunnah, the way of the rightly guided caliphs. فَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا. Hold on to it. وَعُضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. And bite on it with your molar teeth. And here, with your molar teeth, it is like when the Prophet ﷺ or someone holding on very tightly and clinging, not letting go, holding so firmly. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And be away. Be away. وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. From the newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Indeed, every newly invented matter is an innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every newly innovation, bid'ah, is a misguidance, ضَلَالَةٍ. Here, my brothers, I ask you this question. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this companion who's asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he asking him, what do you advise us in our dunya or in our deen? Our religion, our deen. So here, the Prophet ﷺ, is he talking about newly invented issues in this dunya? Like he was telling them, if you see a car, don't ride it. He's telling them innovations in religion. This is what the apparent meaning of the hadith. We cannot take the word innovation here to the linguistical meaning, what it means, anything that is newly invented, like computers and laptop and so on and so forth. So inshallah, we will elaborate on this in depth later, inshallah. And here also in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever innovates something in this matter of ours, i.e. Islam, that is not part of it, will have it rejected. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. This is collected by Sahih al-Bukhari. And in another narration in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an act which is not agreement with our matter will have it rejected. Will have it rejected. Another hadith also, the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, which is collected in the Bukhari. Hudhayfa said, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ. The people used to ask the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the good things so they can perform, they can do, they can act upon it. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَن يُدْرِكَنِي. And I used to ask him about the shar, the evil, fearing that I will fall into it or it will catch up to me. Saying, I just want to stay away from evil. I don't want evil to come near me. I mean, how would you stay away from evil? If you do not know the evil. If you do not know this is wrong and this is right, how would you stay away from the wrong if you don't know what it is? فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا كُنَّ فِي جَاهِلِيَّ وَشَرٍ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, we used to be in a time of ignorance and evil. فَجَاءَنَا اللَّهُ بِهَذَا الْخَيْرِ. Allah has sent to us this goodness, this khayr. And we really need to look in depth what these companions are trying to do, Arbad ibn Sari and Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. They really want to learn. They're worried about welfare. They're worried about themselves. They know when they are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they know when they are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will clarify things for them. But what happens after you go? See, that is where we as Muslims don't see that if this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and something that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never practiced, why should I do? Why should I indulge in it? And that's where you see the companions. They're fearing about themselves. They're fearing about their welfare and well-being. They're asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ شَرْ. Is there after this goodness, now we see this prosperous religion and Islam, evil? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam, yes. قُلْتُ وَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الشَّرِّ خَيْرِ. After this evil would be good, would be goodness. Do the people have a chance? Do they have a chance? Is there a way out for them? He said, Naam وَفِيهِ دَخَن. Yes, but it has دَخَن. دَخَن mean cloudy, smoky, not clear. قُلْتُ وَمَا دَخَنُ. Here he said, what makes it cloudy? يعني the truth is there, but it is not 100% clear. You really need to work a little bit harder to know the truth. يعني it is not like in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything was black and white. You didn't have to worry. You have a problem, you go ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You couldn't find anyone, you ask Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Now, everyone claims he's on the truth. That means you have to take a further step, actually not step, a million step, before you can find where is the truth. That is the meaning behind this hadith. And here he said, وَمَا دَخَنُ. What is that cloudiness? He said, قَالَ قَوْمٌ يَهْدُونَ بِغَيْرِ هَدِي تَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَتُنْكِرُ. People, they will guide to other than my guidance, you would know from them, yani some things they say, you would know it, وَتُنْكِرُ, and some things, desist it, you dislike it, you just, what's this he's saying, it doesn't sound right. قُلْتُ, then he said, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْخَيْرِ شَرْشُفْ. It is as if you have in front of you an encyclopedia of knowledge. And the companion will keep asking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's answering, so I might as well get as much as I can information from him. He said, فَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ شَرْ. Is there evil after this khayr? He said, نَعَمْ دُعَاتٌ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ جَهَنَّمْ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Du'at, da'is on the doors of Jahannam. He's a da'i. He's a caller. But he'll take you and chuck you in Jahannam. فَمَنْ أَجَابَهُمْ إِلَيْهَا قَذَفُوهُ فِيهَا. Whomever answers their call, they will chuck him and throw him inside the fire. Of course, as we will see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger never left us astray. Yani one would ask, طيب, if it is so hard, yani is it hard for us, how can we? We say, this is the jihad, that part of the jihad in your life, that to seek the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put signposts. He put milestones to the truth. You would never, if you really seek it, you would never miss it. But you just have to try a little bit. Get out there and try a little bit and read a little bit more. Investigate as you would investigate for a new job, for something new. And you would investigate for that. You need to investigate to find the truth. Here he said to him, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, listen to what he said. Amazing, wallahi, akhwa. He said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صِفْهُمْ لَنَا. O Messenger of Allah, describe him to us. And that is the scary part. He said, فَقَالَ هُمْ مِنْ جِلْدَتِنَا. The Messenger of Allah, he said, these people are from our skin. And here, not يعني, the skin color, the dark, يعني, dark color and the white sheikh is the correct sheikh. No. هم جلدتنا, يعني, they're part of our skin. They're part of us. يعني, they are similar to us. ويتكلمون بألسنتنا. And they talk with our tongues. I mean, they speak similar to us. They look similar to us. يعني, for you, for a person who is a layman who does not know anything, he would not know. Both of them have beard. Both of them wear thawb. Both of them wear the white cap on their head. Both of them speak Arabic. Both of them speak in a nice way. Which one is right? That is the hadith. He said, and that is the fitna of today. And that is the fitna of today. To be able to separate the truth from falsehood. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, they have the same skin as ours. As I said, it's not the same color skin, but yani the same part of us. And they speak with the same tongue that we're speaking. قُلْتُ then Hudhayfa, فَمَا تَأْمُرُنِي إِنْ أَدْرَكَنِي ذَلِكَ. طيب, if this has reached me, what do you order me to do? The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تَلْزَمُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ. You would follow the jama'ah of the Muslims. And here the word jama'ah, we will explain it later inshallah. It doesn't mean the majority. Because Ibn Mas'ud said, the jama'ah is by yourself if you are on the haqq. If you are on the haqq, you are the jama'ah. That's what Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu. And we will explain the meaning of jama'ah, inshallah, to come. He said, تَلْزَمْ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. You would follow the jama'ah of the Muslims, وَإِمَامَهُمْ, and their imam. Here, Hudhayfa, he said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ جَمَاعَةَ وَلَا إِمَامَ. If there is no jama'ah and imam, قال فاعتزل تلك الفرق كلها. Stay away from all these groups. Bite on a tree trunk until death comes to you. So he said, leave them, abandon them, all of them, and bite on the tree trunk even until you die on this. Now, what does it mean, bite on a tree trunk until death come to you? Here, some people would misunderstand this hadith that you need to pack up and go up and leave in the mountains by yourself. No, that's not what it means. That means if you can't see Jama'atul Haqq, you stay by yourself and practice the Haqq. And you give da'wah to the Haqq. As in another hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when a man came to the Messenger and asked him this question, he said, I give da'wah to my people and my people would harm me. And they would prosecute me. Should I abandon them and live on my own? The Messenger ﷺ said to him that it is better for you to live amongst them and give them the da'wah and be patient on their hardship and on their harassment towards you. So that's what the hadith means. Now let's go back to the hadith of Al-Irbad bin Sariyah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the disease. When he said, مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whomever lives from amongst you, and of course the later generations, would see a lot of differences. What are the differences here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the change that we're going to see? Is it we're going to see just big buildings increase, and cars on the roads, and the Quran in mushafs or and laptops and computers? What are the things that we are going to see? They're going to change. Of course, here the Prophet ﷺ talking about the issues inside Islam. Yani, there's new beliefs, new aqa'id. People adopt new methodologies of belief. and then they would try to stick it and glue it to Islam. People would add types of ibadah. People would say things not from Islam and attribute it back to Islam. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. Yani, look how an Arabian Bedouin, in this example, he entered in the time of Al-Mu'tasim, which is who come after the Ma'mun, in the days of the Abbasid, where, of course, they were testing the people about the issue of the Qur'an, whether it was created, whether the Qur'an was created or not. Al-Mu'tasim, he had a minister from the Mu'tazila, which is the sect that came later, and he would test the people. So he tested this Arabian man. He said to him, would you say the Qur'an is the creation of Allah or not? And look at the Arabian, based on natural tendency, on his fitrah. He said to him, I ask you a question. Let me ask you first. Is this issue that you're talking about creation and not the creation? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about it? He said, no. Has Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spoken about it? He said, no. He said, has Umar radiallahu anhu spoken about it? He said, no. He said, has Uthman radiallahu anhu spoken about it? He said, no. He said, has Ali radiallahu anhu spoken about it? He said, no. He said, they knew about it and they left it without talking about it. And if they have left it alone, what it was sufficient for them is sufficient to us. And if they did not know about it, you come, you look at son of a look at, look at, and you fool son of a fool, or a rude word the Arabs they used to use. After them, you come and you claim that you have knowledge of something neither the messenger nor Abu Bakr nor Ali nor Uthman nor Umar radiallahu anhum knew about it. You are talking about something, yani either they knew about it but they never spoken about it and you want to talk about it, or they didn't know it and now you knew it. Yani the simplicity is, all these people who invent innovations, either the Prophet ﷺ knew about it, he didn't perform them, so whatever was sufficient for him is sufficient for us. Or they knew about it but never talked about it because they saw no benefit of talking about it. So that also is also sufficient for us. That is the simple understanding of bringing new innovations into Islam. Here he said, the Prophet ﷺ pointed out of the disease, but he never left us astray. He said, the cure is alaykum bi sunnati. Go back to my sunnah. And the sunnah of the righteously guided caliphs. And according to the consensus of the ummah, there are four of them. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. And some ulama have added the righteously guided Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And let me read to you the letter that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz sent to his subjects warning about not following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, أما بعد, as what follows, فَقَدْ سَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَوُلَاتُ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سُنَنَا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has put a sunnah for us, a way to follow. And the leaders after him put a way for us to follow. الْأَخْذُ بِهَا اعْتِصَامٌ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. To hold on firm to it is holding on to the book of Allah. وَقُوَّ عَلَى الدِّينِ. And it gives you strong and firmness on the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ تَبْدِيلَهَا. It is not for anyone to change it. وَلَا تَغْيِيرَهَا. يعني the term meaning to change it even slightly. وَلَا النَّظَرُ فِي أَمْرٍ خَالَفَهَا. And not to look into something that goes opposing to it. فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى بِهَا فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي. Whomever follow its guidance, he is the guided one. وَمَنْ اِسْتَنْصَرَ بِهَا فَهُوَ الْمَنْصُورِ. And whomever seek victory with it, Allah will give him victory. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا وَاتَّبَعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَاللَّهُ مَا تَوَلَّى وَأَصْلَاهُ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And whomever abandon it and follows other than the path of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would leave him to what he has followed, and he will make him taste Jahannam وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And it is a wretched destination, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And he continues to say, فَهَذَا فِي مَنْ انْحَرَفَ عَنْ هُدَى اللَّهِ وَهَدِي رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is as for the ones who incline and turn away from the guidance of Allah and the guidance of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa hadi ashabihi wa khulafaihi ar-rashidin, and the guidance of His companions and the rightly guided caliphs. وَضَعُوا لَنَا مَسَالِكَ نَيِّرَ, put to us يعني a path which is lightened, وَمَعَالِمَ وَاضِحَ, clear signposts, وَمَنَاهِجَ قَوِيمَ, and straight methodologies, عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَن يَتَّبِعُهَا, it is incumbent, it is obligatory on the Muslims to follow it. لَقَدْ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, here يعني he continued to say that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْوَاضِحَ, I have left you on the clear. On the clear, لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, the night of it, يعني the darkness of it, it's like the day. So there is no darkness in it. There is no trying to find your way. The sunnah is clear and it's open for you. لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا بَعْدِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ, everyone who turns away or he does not follow it or he stray from it, he will be destroyed and into an evil ending. So my brothers in Islam, here Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he showed us the way and he showed how he used to teach his subjects and teach his people that the only way of success is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. Why the rightly guided caliphs? Because they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi directly and they proclaimed the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we have another question, which is, some would ask, who are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Before we go on and talk about the milestones, the signposts of holding on to the sunnah, because I have prepared some guidelines, some rules. If we adhere to them, inshallah, we would remain in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were collected from what the ulama have said. طيب, what does Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah means? Jama'ah in the Arabic language is from ijtima', which means a gathering where people come together, unification, and this is the opposite of separation, dispersal. The Jama'ah are people who have united together on a certain matter or a certain affair. The Sunnah in Arabic language means a path or a course. طيب, what is the meaning of sunnah in the context of the sharia? The guidance which the messenger and his companions were upon in term of knowledge, belief, speech, and action. This is the sunnah, the following of which is obligatory, whose adherents have been praised, and whose abandoners have been rebuked. That is what the sunnah means. The sunnah means is whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were up on, whether the knowledge, the belief, what they have believed in, speech and action, this is the sunnah where it is obligatory and every Muslim and Muslima to follow. And which is all the ahadith came to praise the people who follow it, and the one who abandoned it, the ahadith came to rebuke them and criticize them and promise them with evil ending. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. The term sunnah is also used for the various acts of worship and belief, just as everything which is contrary to its term, bid'ah, innovation. This is where some people misunderstand this issue. The word sunnah in every field in Islam, it testifies to a meaning. It equates to a meaning. In the field of aqidah, our predecessors, like Abdullah bin Ahmad bin Hanbal, like Al-Khalal, he's one of the greatest collectors of the Hanbali madhab, Ibn Manda, they all wrote book of Aqidah called As-Sunnah. The books of Aqidah, according to the early generation of scholars, were called As-Sunnah. Why? As opposing to the Bid'ah. That's what it means. And they used to call it As-Sharia. Like Imam al-Ajurri, some ulama say he's a Shafi'i and some ulama say he's a Hanbali because he's a great imam and sort of two madhabs tried to pull the strings. Yani he was more of a Hanbali than a Shafi'i because of his opinion on certain issues. Al-Imam al-Ajurri, rahimahullah, he wrote a book of Aqidah, or he collected a book of Aqidah where he called it Al-Sharia, the Sharia. So That is the term sunnah. Now, if we go to the faqih, to the people of jurisprudence, what does the word sunnah mean to them? The word sunnah means to the people of jurisprudence that everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, performed, agreed on. He saw a companion doing it, and he agreed on this. He never stopped him. That is what is sunnah according to the jurist, to the fuqaha. Tayyib. Another confusion here. Some people will tell you growing the beard is a sunnah. Thus, it is not an obligation. Because the confusion, some ulama, they call something which is preferred to do sunnah. See? Something which is preferred to do sunnah. But they confuse it in which is obligatory. The beard, the obligation of the beard, and to pray salat for rak'at, it came to us through the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why it was called sunnah. And some ulama call something preferred to do sunnah. Once you confuse these two, then you confuse the issue of growing the beard. Can you see the differences between them? And now the ulama of seerah, they use the word sunnah also. But what does it mean to them, to the ulama of the seerah, history and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sunnah, it means to them everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed before the revelation. Yani when he was 20, when he was 19, all this. After the revelation. And also how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked like. That is all considered sunnah to them. And as you see, if you take the word sunnah from the books of the historians and you put it in the books of fiqh, you cause the disaster. Or you put it in the books of aqidah, you cause a disaster again. So that's where the word sunnah, we need to know what book we are reading and what do they mean with the word sunnah. So when the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is used collectively, it defines that they are those who hold on to the sunnah of the messenger, the ones who unite themselves upon that, and they are the companions of the messenger, the scholars of guidance who follow the companions, and whoever travels upon their path in terms of belief, speech, and action until the day of judgment. Until the day of judgment. Tayyib, is the word jama'ah the majority of Muslims? That's what we need to investigate. By the word jama'ah, the totality of Muslims is not meant, nor those who are the largest in number or the great majority. This is because the messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a ta'if al-mansura is a single group from among 73 groups. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to the meaning, in many ahadith, he mentioned to us, in many narrations, without going through the narrations, that the ta'if al-mansura, the successful group, the successful group, the saved sect, are one out of 73. So would it make it the majority or the minority? That makes it the minority. It does not mean at all time the majority. Umama reports that the Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah will split into 73 sects, 72 in the fire, and one in paradise. We said, describe them to us. He said, As-sawad al-a'zam, the great majority. Now here, this hadith, what does it mean then? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, describe them to us, they said, the great majority. Does it mean the great majority, i.e. the great majority of the Muslims? Or it means the great majority in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Yani there is a hadith that confused a lot of people. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have two ahadith now. We have the saved sect, which is one out of 73. And we have another hadith that says, as-sawad al-a'zam. The saved sect are the sawad al-a'zam, the great majority. And we have another narration. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, the jama'ah is whatever agrees with the truth, even if it is only one person. So when at one time, ta'ifat al-haq, the saved sect were the majority. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were the companions, and the second generation, and the following generation, were always the majority. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of my nation is my generation, then those who follow them, then those who follow them. That is the best of generation, and that is the majority. See, Ishaq ibn Rahawi, who died year 238 Hijri, Ishaq ibn Rahawi, rahimahullah, he was a companion of the companions of Imam Ahmad. He was a great muhaddith. He said, if you were to ask the ignorant people about the great majority, they would say the majority of people. They do not know that al-jama'ah is the scholars who cling to the narration from the Prophet and his way. So whoever is with him, yani with that scholar and follow him, he is al-jama'ah. So can you see how he explained it, how they understood it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran to the meaning, and if you obey the majority on this earth, they will yudulluka an sabilillah. They will lead you astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, there is a question here people would ask. Is every Muslim from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? So, generally, if you live in a place where majority of people are Sunnah, let's take an example, Qara. If you live in Qara, every Muslim there is from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, unless proven otherwise. But if you live in a city like Tehran, is every person there from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? No, every person there is from Ahlul Bidah, until you can prove he's from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Also, if you would ask someone, if you say, Ya Akhi, do you follow the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? If he replies to you, are you asking me I'm a Muslim or a kafir? Would that be a correct answer for this? Otherwise, why the ulama of Islam have wrote books about the different sects in Islam? Why would the ulama write books about the different sects of Islam? يعني أبو الحسن الأشعري رحمه الله. أبو الحسن الأشعري, a great imam who the Ash'ari, the modern Ash'ari of the day, they attribute themselves to him رحمه الله. Whilst he collected a book and called it مقالات الإسلاميين. يعني what the different groups of Muslims have said, واختلاف المصلين, and the differences amongst the one who pray. See, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari recognized that the term Islam is wide, but the term Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is concentrated to a smaller circle. And that's why he collected this book. If every Muslim is Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, why would he collect this book? And inside this book, let me read you this little section. He said, وَقَالَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْحَدِيثِ. Now, after he listed some of the aqidah of misguided sects, he said, قَالَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ. أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ said, وَأَصْحَابُ الْحَدِيثِ, يعني أهل السنة, they have another name, أهل الحديث. أهل الحديث. He said, and this is talking about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not a jism, a body, وَلَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَشْيَاءَ وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ كَمَا قَالَ. I repeat, he said, that he's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, a body, or he does not look like things, and he is عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, above the throne. كما قال عز وجل الرحمن على العرش استوى, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الرحمن arose above the throne. And then he said, ولا نقدم بين يدي الله في القول بل نقول استوى بلا كيف. And we don't يعني put anything, we add on this, we say yes he did استوى but without how. And then he listed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face and eye and all these attributes. So my point here is that Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, he collected the book and called it Maqalat al-Islamiyin. So he realized that there is the general term of Islam, and there is Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, or Ahlul Hadith, or Ahlul Sunnah, a section inside this section, and they are the successful sect, the saved sect. So not every Muslim is from Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, but every Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is a Muslim. So apparently to us, every Muslim is from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Unless he can prove otherwise. He could prove otherwise to us, and if he's performing acts of kufr, then he's not Muslim altogether. But if he's performed a lot of bid'ah, a lot of innovations, and the ulama, after discussion with the ulama, they say this person is a person of innovation, then he's from Ahlul Bid'ah, but he still hasn't left the circle of Islam. And this is when we say, for example, when in the same ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says about the 72 different sects, he said that all of them in fire, except One. But when he said all of them in fire, what does it mean? Does it mean they are kuffar wal-iyadu billah? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he commented on this hadith, he said, no, it is when Allah, it is here when he said in the fire, it's exactly when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the ones who eat the wealth, the money of the orphan, Allah said they eat in their butun, in their stomach fire. We know it is a great major sin to eat unlawfully, to eat the wealth of an orphan, but it doesn't put you in Jahannam eternally. And that's exactly what it means. They will enter to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah to a certain time, but not eternally, except if their bid'ah wal-iyadu billah is a bid'ah of kufr that takes someone way outside the fold of Islam and so on. Now, who are the Salaf and what does the word Salaf mean? Here, the Salaf in Arabic language means those who precede have gone before. Tayyip. How did our scholars use it? The earliest scholars used it for the first three generations of Muslims and those who are up on their way in accordance with the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which reported by Bukhari, the best of a generation is my generation, then those that follow them, then those that follow them. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, adhere to the athar, the narration, and the tariqah, the way of the Salaf, righteous predecessors, and be aware of newly invented matters, for all of it is innovation. طيب. Now, why the way of the Salaf is the best way? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them. Yani, if we want to talk about the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if we want to talk about the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if someone asks, what makes Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah special? What is the methodology they followed? We say, the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is, you can call it, the methodology of the Salaf Salih. To follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors, which is the three generations. Tayyib. Why their understanding is the best of understanding? See, my brothers, the Quran needs the Sunnah to explain it, yes? And the Sunnah, who explains the Sunnah for us, are the companions and their students and their students. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. And the first to embrace Islam of the muhajirun, yani the one who migrated from Mecca to Al-Madinah, and the Ansar, the citizens of Al-Madinah, who helped and gave aid to the Muhajirun, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And also who followed them exactly in faith, Allah is well pleased with them as they are well pleased with Him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. He has prepared for them gardens under which river flow, paradise to dwell therein forever. That is the supreme success. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ahadith that we mentioned praised that generation. And he had noticed the verse in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. And the one who followed them, yani the followed the muhajirin and followed the ansar, and then the followed them exactly, bi ihsan, yani exactly in the best manner, in the best way. Tayyib, why we need to follow them? First, because the Quran and the Sunnah told us about the virtue. That is why. First, the Quran and the Sunnah told us about their virtue. Second, they were the closest to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Due to the fact that these generation were nearer to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second generation were very near to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the following generation very close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because there wasn't enough time for corruption. Corruption did not really take hold. So they were very close. Also, the companions, they have witnessed the revelation. Let me give you an example for this. For us to understand What do we mean that witnessed the revelation? Someone asked Aisha radiallahu anha and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, indeed the Safa and the Marwa are from the rituals of Allah. Whomever perform Hajj or Umrah, there is no burden on them if they do Sa'i, yani to walk from the Safa and Marwa, between them. According to the apparent meaning of the verse, would you understand it is a pillar of Hajj and Umrah to do Safa and Marwa? No, because there's no burden. So if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Here, this person asked Aisha radiallahu anha. He said to her, what does it mean? I mean, we know we need to do it, and but the verse doesn't say this. He said, oh my son, listen. And this is the knowledge. She said, back in the early days of Islam, when Islam was weak, there were two idols. There was one idol on the Safa and one idol on the Marwa. And the Muslims, they used to dislike doing sa'i between these two idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to say there is no burden on you because you cannot remove the idols yet. So if we didn't understand the revelation and why the circumstances around the verse, we would not understand the verse properly. Because the companions were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were able to see the revelation and they are able to deliver the message to their students. Yani when, for example, in Kitab al-Tawheed, in Sahih al-Bukhari, Mujahid and Abu al-Aliya, Mujahid is the closest student of Ibn Abbas. He read the Quran to Ibn Abbas many times with the explanation where he said, I used to stop Ibn Abbas on every verse. And Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa came there. 7 times in the Quran. He said to him, he translated it, interpreted to irtafa', ascended. Also Abu al-Aliya. Abu al-Aliya, another great student of the companions. Why? Because there is a narration there. They learned it from Ibn Abbas, who witnessed the revelation and knew the meaning. Also, another reason why they are the best generation to follow, because they were the best in understanding the Arabic language. They were the best in their understanding to the Arabic language. So they understood the Arabic language before the Arabic language got corrupted. The ulama of tafsir, they will tell you, the methodology of Ibn Abbas in tafsir was to use the Arabic language. To use the Arabic language in the meanings of the Arabic language. He used to emphasize on it and use the poetry of the Arabs in his tafsir. Now, after the Islamic Ummah has expanded and all the people from Persia and other places came into Islam, of course, their Arabic language wasn't the best. Thus, they could make a mistake. And they could misunderstand the Arabic language. So, if we need to follow a methodology, who do we follow? That generation. We see a verse. What did Ibn Abbas say about it? What did Ali radiallahu anhu say about it? What did Uthman? What did Abu Bakr? What did Al-Hasan say? What did the ulama say? And from that, we can derive the opinion, the correct opinion and the correct way to follow. And our concern now we're talking about is the way, the aqidah of these people. The aqidah of this generation and what they understood from the word bid'ah, what they understood from the Quran and the Sunnah to this topic, which is inshallah we'll explain it inshallah in weeks to come.